You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson, in for Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Some people dream their whole lives of becoming parents, and then there are the people who say that they never, ever want children. Our next guest was one of the second kind of people. She publicly announced that she wasn't ever going to have kids in a Salon series called To Breed or Not to Breed.
But several years later, she changed her mind. Despite her public declarations that she would never have children, she is now the proud mother of two. She's with us today to talk about the process of changing her mind about having children.
Michelle Goldberg is an author and a journalist. Her latest book is called The Goddess Pose. You can read her article about becoming a parent. It's called I Was a Proud Non-Breeder on the Central Time Facebook page. Michelle, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So why did you decide that you'd never have children in your 20s?
Well, I don't even know that that was a decision as much as had always been kind of an intuition. I was, you know, a little girl who had never been interested in dolls. When I had thought about my life as an adult, I had imagined myself as a writer, and, you know, I wanted to travel and have adventures. And to me, I didn't particularly like being a child. And I didn't see anything appealing about it at all. So it's not as if I had, you know, kind of made a decision one way or the other. The article that I wrote when I was 27 was more just like, I can't imagine myself ever wanting this.
Had you ever had a moment where you could envision all those other things that you wanted, the career, the relationship, the travel, that children could possibly work into that?
Well, no, because I just didn't. It's not as if I felt like I was choosing between two different things I wanted. I was choosing between a bunch of things I really wanted and something that to me seemed only negative. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when I was younger, I wasn't trying to think, well, I'm not going to have children because I would have to give up all these other things. It was that I couldn't imagine why anybody wanted to have children. It just seemed so dreary.
And when did things start to flip around for you? When did you first think that maybe there was something to this whole baby having thing?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, like a lot of people, it was, you know, about getting older, and not necessarily that I had the pounding of a biological clock, because I really didn't. It was more just doing a lot of the things that I had always dreamed of doing and being thrilled that I got a chance to do them, but then having sort of a sense of now what. And as I wrote in the piece, I also had sort of a strange epiphany around a story that I wrote in Israel a number of years ago about posthumous reproduction. There was this, you know, the Israelis kind of lead the world in reproductive technology, and there was this campaign to allow parents who had lost sons. It was really designed for people who had lost sons in the army, although those weren't the only ones who used it. The parents who had lost sons to be able to extract their sperm and create their own grandchildren. And, you know, so I reported on this, and however strange it might sound, I remember thinking that as much as I didn't really want kids, if anything like had ever happened to my husband, then I would want to be able to use that technology on him, you know, to have some kind of legacy. When people had talked to me about having kids being, you know, kind of a hedge against your own mortality, it had never really made sense to me because, you know, you're still dead. But I think I suddenly felt very clearly that it was a hedge against my husband's mortality.
And so that wanting to keep a part of your husband suddenly made sense to you as maybe wanting to have children. How did your husband feel about having children?
I think he always felt more or less the same way I did. We've been together since we were quite young, and we, you know, kind of for a long time couldn't stand the idea of anything getting between the two of us. And, you know, we also, again, we wanted to have our own adventures. We wanted to travel all over the world, and we did. I think that because both of us, we were both very much against it, and then we both moved into sort of ambivalence around the same time. And we were so ambivalent for a long time that if either one of us had had strong feelings, we would have gone that way because we just couldn't decide for years and years and years.
So eventually you decide, I think you decide you're just going to go off the pill and sort of let biology take over. Either you get pregnant or you don't. What happened?
Well, I don't know why this shocked me, but after a couple of months, I got pregnant and realized pretty quickly was seized by the sense that I had made a terrible mistake, you know, that this was not something I had wanted, and now I had, like, condemned myself to this life and kind of what kind of a person decides to have a baby without really deciding to have a baby. You know, and so I was hugely depressed. I didn't know what to do. I was traveling, you know, so we were in London, and then I was about to go on to Israel and Palestine for a reporting trip. And yet while I was in London, I got the results of some tests that I'd taken in New York and found out that the pregnancy might not be viable, although we weren't sure. And it was kind of, I had to take some hormone supplements and wait and see. And so I was, you know, doing this trip through Israel and Palestine, you know, taking these supplements, kind of trying as hard as I could to save this pregnancy that I also really didn't want. And then when I came home, at 10 weeks, I found out that everything looked okay. At that point, the doctor said that we were probably in the clear. And then I started to get really excited about it. Or not really excited, it's an exaggeration. I started to get moderately excited about it or reconciled to it. And then 2 weeks later, I had a miscarriage.
And at that point, were you gripped with sorrow, with relief, a little of both?
No, the whole time I thought that, well, you know, maybe if I have a miscarriage, I will be relieved. Maybe it'll be for the best. So it'll just show me that this was never meant to be and we'll never make this mistake again. And instead, I was just shattered. I had never been as desolate over anything as I was after that miscarriage, and, you know, kind of plunged very quickly into the, you know, kind of nightmare fertility netherworld of, you know, tracking, like, you know, all of a sudden, after having spent my whole life, you know, very clear that I never wanted to get pregnant, was just desperate to get pregnant again. And, you know, I was really lucky because there are women who go there and spend years, you know, in, you know, kind of learning all those horrible acronyms and trying every kind of technique. And, you know, it took 5 months. It was, you know, a horrible 5 months, but that's short, and that's not that long in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I'm struck by a term that you used when you write about that time. You used the word animal desperation. Were you surprised that you had it in you to have that capacity of longing for a baby?
Oh, yeah, I was stunned. And I should say, I didn't even know if I felt like I was longing for a baby. I mean, what I sort of felt like was I was longing. I felt so sad after the miscarriage, and I was longing to not feel like that anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the strange thing was I kind of was desperate to get pregnant, but I still didn't really think I would like being a mother, or wasn't sure I would like being a mother.
So you wore the label proudly of non-breeder. You wrote about it. You were kind of a spokesperson for making that choice in life. What kind of pressure were you getting from family and friends then? And it must have been hard to then take on the title of someone who wants to have a baby.
Well, I would say, the kind of pressure, you know, I definitely got pressure from my parents. My mother, when my first book came out, my mother said to me, well, some people get a grand baby, I get a grand book. you know, and I had a lot of friends who would say, you know, especially because my husband and I are, you know, we're so kind of happy, compatible together. You know, people would constantly say you would make great parents. You know, people would constantly say you're going to regret it and it'll change your life. You know, all the things that people say and that I, you know, make sure never to say to anyone, you know, even though I'm pretty delighted with my children. But yeah, and then when I finally did, you know, after having people tell you, you'll change your mind, you'll change your mind, you'll change your mind, and me kind of being, no, 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 of course I won't, how dare you, then to sort of slink back and be like, okay, I changed my mind, is, you know, a little bit mortifying. And, yeah, some people did, you know, revel in the chance to say, I told you so. I think, you know, a lot of other people were more understanding, because even if they hadn't changed their mind about this particular thing, you know, it was 10 years between when I wrote that piece and when my son was born. And I think most people changed their mind about something pretty profound in that time, or at the very least, you know, their personalities change, or their sense of, or their priorities change. So it was something that I think people could understand. Although part of the reason I wrote the piece was because I felt like there was, I did still feel like the need to kind of explain things. In part because I've gotten letters over the years from girls or young women who are, or not even young women, who are wrestling with the same choice and the same pressures.
It's funny that it's kind of a public thing, isn't it? I went through the same thing as you. I told my mom, forget about it. You're never having grandchildren ever. And then all of a sudden I wanted them, but everyone feels that they have the right to weigh in on whether or not you do or don't. Just briefly, is that something you thought about why it ends up being this sort of public domain thing sometimes?
Well, I mean, that's kind of the nightmarish thing about pregnancy and like early motherhood more generally, right, is the way that you suddenly become public property. I mean, I don't know if you can even hear my baby here talking in the background, her babies are asleep early today. But, you know, people feel, you know, kind of entitled to comment on your physique. They feel entitled to comment on, you know, to comment on the way you're carrying. They feel entitled to give you advice about delivery. They feel entitled. I mean, I used to have strangers on the street yell at me with my son because he wasn't wearing a jacket when it was 60 degrees outside. I think it's a sign of the extent to which we still see women as, you know, vessels in every sense of the word, as opposed to kind of autonomous people.
We're talking to journalist Michelle Goldberg about the process of changing her mind about having children. In her 20s, she swore she would never have children. Years later, she's now a mother of two.
And we're taking your calls on this. How did you decide whether or not to have children? Do you regret your decision, whatever it was? Did you think you were not going to have kids until you did? Call in and share your experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're picking up our conversation now with author Michelle Goldberg about her recent piece in New York Magazine called I Was a Proud Non-Breeder. Then I Changed My Mind.
We're taking your calls, too. Did you think you would never have kids, but now you do? How did you decide whether or not to have children? And if you could go back in time, would you do anything differently when it comes to having kids? Call in with your experiences at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to the callers now. We've got Lindsay on the line from Appleton. Lindsay, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to comment. I'm only 23. I know that that's very young to be thinking about children, in my opinion, but a lot of my friends and family are all having kids around my age, and I get a lot of pressure from my parents saying that if I choose not to have children, I'm going to miss out on a lot of things and what's going to be left for me after I'm gone. And I personally think that having children should be a choice that you make because you want to, not because you feel like you have to.
Great. Well, thanks for your take on that, Lindsay. Lindsay's 23. Does this sound like your 27-year-old self at all? And how do you think women go about thinking about this question, Michelle?
Well, I mean, I certainly think that, you know, that the caller is absolutely right, and that the trash, you know, one of the things now that I have two kids, and you know, they're both pretty little, and they are, you know, it's the most fun thing I've ever done. But I don't think it would have been if I had done it when I was 27. You know, I actually think it might have been miserable, and I would have lost out on a lot in life, and that there's no there's no reason that anybody has to make up their minds when they're 23. But the idea of pressuring someone to have children when they're 23, you know, and when they're not interested is ludicrous. I mean, you know, especially when she has so much time to change her mind or not.
It certainly seems like the default is to have children, kind of with societal expectations and pressure. What would you say to those young women like Lindsay that will help them make the decision for themselves, like she said, is so important?
Well, I mean, I don't know how much I... What I would say is that you don't have to, especially, you know, in your 20s and particularly in your early 20s, you don't have to make the decision. You know, you can and wait. See if, you know, you can... If you decide to have children 10 years, that will almost certainly still be an option for you. I'm incredibly glad that I didn't give in to pressure and waited until I was really ready, until I had done a lot of the things that I, you know, set out to do and that I believed that, you know, children would get in the way of, that I was, you know, a little bit more financially stable, that I was just older. And so, you know, at my age, it doesn't really, the fact that I'm not able to go out at night is not much of a loss in your late 30s the way it is in your late 20s. I wouldn't be going out at night really anyway. And, you know, I mean, I understand that there are certain hazards to late parenthood, but I think that there are also a lot of joys and consolations in it.
I had the experience of, I have a 21-year-old stepdaughter who is a wonderful part of my life. She was born before I knew her, at the point where I would have been 27. And I look back and I think, you know, 27... where I was at in my life at that point, I was not ready to be a parent then. When I met her 6 years later, I was in a different place. And so the timing was kind of worked out on my behalf. But really, mm-hmm. the timing has a lot to do with it, about how the experience is, I think.
Yeah, and I understand people when people say, well, you know, the time is never right. And, you know, yeah, there are obviously there are kind of drawbacks whenever, you know, whenever you do it. But as far as I can, I think that there are a lot fewer drawbacks when you're able to, you know, kind of get to know yourself better, build your career, you know, kind of. Otherwise, I could see why, that it would be really easy to lose yourself or get sidetracked. Although I suppose there are benefits to being able to kind of have kids early and pick up your career much later. I don't, you know, I guess the only. I have two kids now, and I am crazy about them, but I would never, ever, ever consider pressuring someone else to have children, because I think that the reason things have worked out so well for me so far is, again, because I was ready.
We've got a comment from Joe on Facebook who says, our living situation makes it impossible to even consider kids now, and the years just keep ticking by and our situation remains the same. Soon we'll be too old. And, you know, that raises a point. There are a lot of people who don't have the economic stability right now to be able to have kids comfortably. What would you say to people like that?
I mean, I would say I'm sorry, for one thing. And I think that, you know, he's absolutely right. And, you know, I think that that's one reason why the fertility rate has been going down slightly. And it's one reason why, you know, I wrote about this quite a bit in my second book, before I ever had children. You see in Europe, the social democracies, you know, Scandinavia particularly, have much higher fertility rates than elsewhere, because there's just most, there's more social support and kind of less economic pressure on young families. I mean, it was punishing for my generation. It's even more punishing now for people who have these, you know, outrageous student loans. And I think I tried to make it really clear in the piece that I am in an incredibly privileged position, you know, and that's not only why I was able to have kids, but also why I'm able to enjoy parenthood. And yeah, a lot of things that I have as privileges, I wish would be treated as entitlements for everyone.
Jesse on Facebook says, I'm 28, married, and voluntarily child-free. I have nothing against people who choose to build their families to include children as they see fit, as long as they respect that my family doesn't and won't ever look like theirs. We're quite happy with being the awesome aunt and uncle we are and then passing the kids back when we've had enough. What would you say to Jesse, given your own experience, Michelle?
You know, I mean, on the one hand, I feel a little bit guilty because I know what it's like when people... I know what it's like to be in your 20s and to be married and have people constantly telling you you'll change your mind. And I feel bad that my own example is going to just be used as kind of further evidence for annoying people who tell you you'll change your mind. You know, and maybe you will and maybe you won't. I mean, I think that you'll change your mind about something between, you know, in the next decade, but having kids might not be it. And so I would say, you know, like I, what I said in the piece, don't let anyone pressure you, and also try not to feel too ashamed if you find yourself in whatever way morphing into a person that you wouldn't now recognize.
Michelle, thank you so much for being with us. That was Michelle Goldberg, author and journalist. You can read her article, "I Was a Proud Non-Breeder, Then I Changed My Mind," on the Central Time Facebook page.